So we'll be machmir, and we'll talk about it for the next couple of Sichas Chaims. Again, the more you prepare for something, the more meaningful it is. And we are in the month of Kislev, and in just a couple of weeks, we'll be celebrating Hanukkah, the holiday that is at the darkest time of year, but it's about shedding light and creating light. And we'll talk more about the halachos related to Hanukkah at a future date. But I thought maybe we'll just talk about one of the famous questions related to Hanukkah and two of the approaches that the Mefarshim give that really something to think about really every day of our lives. Every day of our lives, the two ideas that we're going to talk about. So the question we'll deal with is based on the Gemara. We know there are two major sources for the Hanukkah story in Chazal, the Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Aleph, and Al Hanisim. Those are the two main sources of what we focus on, and they have two very different emphases. Right, two very different emphases. Al Hanisim is all about the war. No real mention of the nace of the Pach HaShemen. Right? The Gemara is only about the Pach HaShemen. It's not about the war. That itself is a question that we're not dealing with. Maybe we'll deal with in the future, a different maybe next week or the following week, why there are so many questions about Hanukkah. There are questions about on Pesach, but on Pesach, there are questions that you ask on Pesach. There aren't questions about Pesach, about the essence of Pesach. If you need more sheets, there are some more sheets over here. You need more sheets over there? You have? Yeah, okay. Pesach, okay, you ask questions on Pesach. Lots of questions. That's what the night's about. But Hanukkah, the whole essence, every step of the way, you ask why. Right? Why isn't Hanukkah in Tanakh? Why isn't Hanukkah, right? Hanukkah was during, you know, it's too late. Why? Fine. So why isn't Hanukkah in Torah Shabbat Peh? Right? It's mentioned 8 times, Derech Agav in Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi couldn't figure out a way. We have Mesechus Megillah. Mesechus Megillah, the Rambam put it together. So why isn't it there? What do we even need the Nes for? That's what we'll talk about. Right? Or the question of why is Hanukkah 8 days, not 7 days? I mean, there are questions about the essence of the day. That question we're not dealing with tonight. I used to have a sefer. I never had this first sefer. I saw the sefer with 100 answers called Ner Lomea, and then a Talmidim got me a couple years ago a sefer with 500 answers to the Beis Yosef's question of why is Hanukkah 8 nights and not 7 nights. Some of them are pretty similar. There are different categories of answers. There are questions. So that's a good question. Why are there so many questions about Hanukkah? But that's also not for tonight. Tonight we're going to focus on one of the questions. One of the questions on the Gemara. So the Gemara, again, focuses on the oil, and that's what we'll get into right now. So Gemara Shabbos Chafalaf, let's get into it. A Gemara that we'll see over and over again, hopefully over the next couple of weeks. My Hanukkah. That itself is strange. My Hanukkah. Is that a what or a why? What does my mean? What or why? Tzfas Emes asks, if you look at that Gemara, again, not our topic now, but just questions keep popping in, right? The Tzfas Emes asks, my Hanukkah is on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Mabez. Before that, you have about 20 lines, and the bottom of the previous Amud, all about Hanukkah also. The Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, do you go up, do you go down? Mahajim, all the halachas, that's all before this. Why the Gemara first speak about the halachos, and then at the my Hanukkah, shouldn't that be the first line of the Gemara? My Hanukkah, first you go through all the halachas, the Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Mahajim, and then all of a sudden, my Hanukkah. Another question. But my Hanukkah, Tatan Rabban. The rabbis tell us, B'chave B'kislev, Yom Eid Hanukkah, T'ban Yinun, 8 days of Hanukkah, T'lo L'misbeid B'hon, T'lo L'sanos B'hon, no eulogies, no fasting. Why? Shekshinichlusi Yivanim Lahechal, Timo Kol Hashmanim Shebeichal. When the Yivanim came in, they were metame all of the oil in the Hechal. As we know, it's interesting, Yavon is the third Galus. Right, Sefer Daniel, and already in the Midrashim, in Bereishis, there were 4 Galias that Bnei Yisrael went through. Right, Galus, what are the Galios? Galus Bavel, right? That's Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first base of Migdash. Galus Paras Umadai, right? That was after Paras took over from Bavel, and Koresh and Daryavesh killed Belshazzar, and that was second Koresh. That's the Purim story. Then we have Galus Yavan. Right, the Hanukkah story, and then we have Galus Romy, Esav, Seir, they destroyed the second base of Mikdash. It's fascinating that Yavan is called a Galus, even though we had a base of Mikdash. Right? The other ones either destroyed or were out. Yavan was during Bayesheni, and it's called Galus Yavan. Obviously, Galus doesn't only mean physically exiled. Galus can mean spiritually exiled. And unique to this third Galus of Galus Yavan, that's a uniqueness. So maybe that's what we have to focus on over the next couple of weeks as we get ready for Hanukkah, to realize that Galus does not just mean geographically. You could have a Galus where you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have a Beis HaMikdash, and you're still in Galus. Because that's what Galus Yavan was. So what does it mean when we won? And we had Geula from that. That means we reconnected spiritually. And that's why we don't have Chiyuv Suud on Hanukkah. Again, a lot of things connect. But either way, this was the Galus. The Yavanim did not want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They were not interested. All they wanted to do was to be Metame, the Beis HaMikdash. Right, they went around and they matame timu kalashmanim. They went around with like a dead, I don't know, sheretz and like touched everywhere they can. That's what they wanted to do. You could have the Beis HaMikdash. They wanted to take away the pnimius of the Beis HaMikdash. You could have your building. I mentioned in the past, but it's just a fascinating one-liner. They're like, whoa, Yavan is pointed out, Yud Vav Nun, the only three letters of the Aleph Beis without an inside. It's just lines. Yud, Vav, Nun. There's no pnimius to Yavan. It's all what you see is what you get. You focus on the outside. You focus on the body, right? The Olympics. It's all about the physical. You can have your mikdash. You have your building. We have our building. But there's nothing special about it. Tuma. You don't see Tuma? But we know. We're meeting Matamia to tell you that you're not special. So Timu Kol Hashmanim Shebehechal. And when the Malchus Beis Chashmonai took over and were victorious, they found only one little cruse of oil. That's the fancy English word. That had the special signet of the Kohen Gadol, which is also interesting. What, every oil bottle had the signet of the Kohen Gadol on it? What is that emphasizing? We know the story. It was the only one that was Tahar. But if you look at the Gemara, that signet to the Kohen Gadol. Okay. V'lo hayabo lahalit yom echad, and only had one, enough to light one night. Nase bones, v'yadliku mer shmona yamim. They took it, and they lit for 8 days. They did not know at the time that it was going to light for 8 days. They found one light. Okay, we have one. What can you do? We'll suffice it with one. But then the nase happens, and that somehow gave them a message. Lushana Cheres, also interesting, what does that mean? The following year, not that year. The following year, Kabum Basum Yamim Tovim, Bahal of Oda. They made it a Yamtif Bahal of Oda. Doesn't say Mishnah Besimcha. Get every line of the Gemara is chock full of meaning. What it says and what it doesn't say. Again, this is the section. Again, no mention of the Milchama. No mention of the war, which was a tremendous nace as well. You read the stories, you read the book of Maccabees, which didn't make it into Tanakh. But if you read the Sefer HaMakabim, you realize it was unbelievable how small and how weak, and we defeated like the greatest army of the time. But that's, again, we'll focus on another time, the Milchama. So we'll talk about tonight just two approaches to the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha. It's known as the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha, and that isn't on that Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Aleph, and that is, why do we need this nace? Amazing nace. Amazing nace, the oil either expanded or however the nace occurred, but ask the Pnei Yeshua there in source number two. What do we need the nace for? Tumah is huchav etzibur. Right, the Gemara in Maseches Psachim. We know later on, Dachai and Zayin. Tumah huchav etzibur, dechuyav etzibur. But either way, you're allowed to do the avoda, even with tumah, right? This is the only place in Shas where it uses specifically that hutra reverses the chuya, two different dayas. Rishonim expanded. Rishonim expanded to, or we're talking about this in Shir now, to Shabbos. Is Shabbos pikuach nefesh? Is that hutra or the chuya? Or ochal nefesh on yantif? Is that hutra or the chuya? So it extends. Asay dochalos asay. Hutra or the chuya? How do you look at it? But the deus in the Gemara Tuma hutcha b'tzibur d'chuyi b'tzibur, that's in this context, by Tumas Meis. So Pnei Yeshua asks, what did we need this Meis for? Even if they only found Tame oil, you could use it, can't you? Tuma hutcha b'tzibur, if most of the tzibur is Tame, if the Beis HaMikdash is Tame. So what did we need the Meis for? So he says, it works a little better if you say d'chuyi b'tzibur. If you say the tum is still there, but it's just pushed aside, okay, so you didn't want it there. So bishlam lamad damar dechuyi betzibur nicha hachashaper ksas. It's a little better. Mashaki lamad damar hutcha betzibur dafilo hadur lo madrina. If it's hutcha, then it's not there. We can kasha tuva. So what exactly? Any, I gave you. I skipped about 10 lines of the Pnei Yeshua, which I didn't give you, but the Pnei Yeshua has one answer. It's so simple, but it's something that we have to think about. And again, all the messages of Hanukkah are messages for a Jew during the darkest time of the year, right? The hours of the winter are the most hours of darkness, of night. And these messages are to give us some encouragement. So it's not just the physical night winter now, but it's also in challenging times, in challenging times of galus, of the past thousands of years. And I would say in our day, again, lahavdil elef alfi avdalus, lahavdil a million times, Jews have gone through, you know, difficulties throughout the ages. So it's been challenging on various levels over the past 8 months. It's been challenging for the world. This doesn't have to be happens to be a Jewish issue, but it's a world issue. So we have to look at Hanukkah also as, you know, giving us light in the challenges that we face today in every generation. Whatever the challenges are, Hanukkah can light up our. Our attitude and our hashgafa. So, again, two approaches tonight. Number one, the Pnei Yeshua. Lakach nire, line 6. De'ikir hanes lo nase ela lohodia lohem chibas hamakom aleihem. You're right, it wasn't needed. There was no need for this nase. You know why Hashem did the nase? To show that He loves us. To give them a nase. You want it? You came back to the Beis HaMikdash. You know what? I'm gonna give you a nace. How does Hashem give you a kiss? How does Hashem give you a kiss? So, in those days, at least there was still some open miracles going on. Nowadays, we have to look a little harder. Nowadays, they say like if you like look in a sefer and it connected to something that you saw like the morning and the afternoon, it connects like, oh man, I just saw this. That's a divine kiss. But there are many times in history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed something that He didn't have to do in order to show that He loves Am Yisrael. And B'davka, that's what the Yevanim wanted to show that was not true. Right? The Yevanim said, there's nothing special about you. Be like us. They weren't trying to kill us. Right? They weren't like Bavel and Esav. They said, you can live, generally. But be like us. Be mityavein. And so that's why Hashem does the nace, to show the world, to show Am Yisrael and to show the world that, no, Hashem has a special relationship with Am Yisrael. Other nisim that took place. Right, what was the gzera they made? Again, the Yevanim started off okay. Right, they were on the scene for a couple hundred years. You have to put together 6 or 7 different stories in Shas just to know what the order is. And right, Alexander the Great was pretty good to the Jews. He just died very young. Remember the story in Yuma, right, where he comes and he meets Shimon HaTzadik and he bows down to Shimon HaTzadik. So at the beginning, the Greek Empire was pretty good to the Jews. But as time went on, Talmai, right, the Septuagint, he had the Torah translated into Greek, which is looked at one of the tragedies, one of the 3 reasons we fast on Asar B'Teves. And as things got even worse, in the days of Antiochus, obviously, terrible religious persecution. But one of the gzeiras that they made, this is quoted in Chazal, She'omrim li'Yisrael kisvo al Keren Hashor. They made the Jews write on the Keren Hashor. Many different pshatim, what that means. The one I like is, Keren Hashor, oxen were like the cars in those days. They used to have oxen that pulled their wagons. So they made a gzeira that every Jew had to write on their horn of their ox. That was the Talmudic bumper sticker. Right? Right on the Keren Hashor, Ein lanu chelek b'elokei Yisrael. We don't have a special relationship to Hashem. That's what they had to write. Kisvo Karen Ashar, Shane Lacham Kilabak Israel, the Gazru Kamashmadios, Vyakshav Shinigalu, Vraslam Nais Gadol. So they said, you have no special connection. Hashem does the Nais to show, yes, they do have a special connection. There is a special connection. Lachach Nasa Lam Gamkin Nezeh Binyananeris. Shu Aidus Li Israel Shashkina Shore Bahem. Aidus Li Israel, that there is special Asras Hashkina. That's the Pnei Yeshua. The Chacham Tzvi also says it in one line. In one line, I gave you Laris Chibasim Lafana Va'aslam Nezeh. We have to recognize how much Hashem loves us. We have to recognize that in our day-to-day activities. Even before we relate it to us, there is, you might have seen it before, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz has a beautiful mimer in the newer mimer tezayin, so Skip will come back. It was too big to put on one page, so source number 4 is going to be the Sichas Moser. We're going to come back to 5. And he quotes, the Pnei Yeshua's connected question, and he asks another question that we're not dealing with, and that is, what's the focus of the Nais? Shouldn't the focus of the Nais be the war? So the oil burns a little more. What was so special about that? So he quotes another couple of examples. Usually Shabbos Chanukah is Parshas Vayeshev. Usually Miketz. But the Parshios around the Yosef story have a lot of connection. 20 Amas, the Pits, Chanukah. A lot of Torah is said about Vayeshev and Miketz. But we know Vayeshev, Yosef is sold by his brothers, and Rashi quotes, or the first the pasuk says, "V'hinei archos Yishmaelim ba migilad." Right, there was an Arab whole, caravan that was going. I'm in the middle of page number 2. Ugbaleim nosim nachos sariv v'lo tolchim l'arav mitzrayma. Right, and they had all of these spices. So what does Rashi quote? "V'halohei darkam shel arviim lios toanim ela oros v'itzron." Bunch of Arabs going on a caravan. They don't usually have wonderfully smelling items. Right? It smells pretty disgusting. Right? And yet, what did this Yosef was brought down in a caravan of Arabs that they had this unbelievable spices, Nechos Tzari Velot. Because, you know, it's, we don't want Yosef HaTzadik to have a tough time going down. So Ezra Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Yosef was just sold by his brothers. He was thrown out of the house. He might not even know that his father wasn't involved in it. What would his father say? Go to your brothers. Go check out what's going on. So maybe he thinks his father also abandoned him. He's just been abandoned. He's with a bunch of Egyptian merchants. He's going down to Mitzrayim. His life is terrible. What's going on? Is he going to live? Is he going to ever see his parents and father again? Brothers, he's totally lost. It's going to make him feel a little better that it smells good. That's going to make all the difference? Well, what's the purpose? What was the purpose of Nes Chanukah? Similar, what was the purpose of this Nes? Or another example. I'm not going to read the whole Sicha, but it's fascinating how he puts so many things together. David and Goliath. It happened about a half an hour from here, about 10 minutes outside of Beit Shemesh. Right, David and Goliath and Emek Eilah, remember the story, the Plishtim on one side, and the Bnei Yisrael on the other side. David, the little David, with his big armor on, it doesn't even fit him, fells the giant, a little slingshot, boom, he gets right exactly in the spot where the armor was open, he slips in that smooth rock, and he kills Goliath. And the pasuk says that Goliath fell down forward. He fell down forward. And David cut off his head, and that was the end of Goliath. When you get hit in the head, in the forehead, don't you usually fall down backwards? Right? So he pushes you. Don't fall down forward. So Chazal, that pasuk, asks. You have this in the middle of page number 3. Vayachaz haplishti el mitzcho. David hit the plishti on the forehead. Vatitpa ha'evan b'mitzcho. The stone went in. Vayipol al panav artsa. Falls on his face. Lohaylo lipol ha'achorav. Should fall backwards, Rashi quotes there in Sefer Shmuel. Sharing al mitzcho huka, ella kedesh lo yitzar David lelech lachlechas rosho. He didn't want David to have to schlep the giant. He's a pretty big guy, to schlep to the whole other side to go chop off his head. So you know what? I'm going to make him fall forward. So the head's right in front of David, and he's able to take care of business. Again, what do you need that for? Says Rav Chaim Shmulev, it's throughout history, Hashem does little things that aren't just little things. In the days of old, even little nisim, to show that I'm with you. To show that don't think that you're alone. Don't think that you're alone. That was the Nes of Chanukah. That was Yosef. 17-year-old Yosef, who felt lost in the world. It smells good. Kadosh Baruch Hu is with me. David and Goliath. David's little. He was going to go through. David had a very hard life. We think David HaMelech just sat in his backyard with a harp over his head and relaxed and wrote Tehillim. He had a very hard life. First half of his life, Shaul was trying to catch him to kill him. In the second half of his life, he was getting punished for David and Bathsheba and all the terrible things that happened. His son tried to usurp the throne. One of his sons raped his daughter. I mean, it's crazy. Very difficult. Throughout his life, Hashem is with him. This is towards the beginning. And that's the purpose. And there are other examples as well. Quotes one from Avraham Avinu. Feel free to look here. But that is idea number one. Chanukah is about remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. We say every day, we say every morning, if you daven Ashkenaz, Ava Rabba, or Ahavas Olam, if you daven Sfarad. Either way, they're both phrases. One's different pshat than what they are. Ava Rabba Avtanu. We say Hashem has such deep love for us. Do we realize that? Do we think about that? Ava Rabba, Chazon Ish once said, any hatzlacha that he had in his Torah learning was because of the kavana that he had during Ava Rabba. The kavana that he had during Ava Rabba, which is all about Hashem help me, it's about Talmud Torah. Right? V'har einena b'sarasecha v'dabek libeinu, one of the most beautiful tefillahs. We rush through it. But Ava Rabba is so powerful. But what about the first two words? Ava Rabba ahavtanu. To think about that every once in a while. What's going on in my life? Ava Rabba. I was going to give it. I made the sheet this afternoon, but I forgot to put this in. I was going to put it in. The Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, in Perek Yud Aleph. This came a couple years ago. I remember there was some controversy. I was here. I didn't really know what was going on. Some controversy in America, in a magazine. Some Rav spoke about how, you know, Jews could do some things sometimes that Hashem could cut them off from his relationship. And another Rav came out with an article the following week in this magazine, Chas v'shalom. Kodesh Baruch Hu is always with you. Doesn't matter how far a Jew wanders. So I remember he quoted this Maharal, Netzach Yisrael Perek Yud Aleph. Netzach Yisrael is required reading for every Jew, right? The eternity of Am Yisrael. And Arba Hartman makes it beautiful. So in the Netzach Yisrael, he quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, Lamed Vav. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Banim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. Rabbi Meir says, even if we're not following, Bein Kach Vovein Kach Kriyim Banim, we are children of Hashem. We say, In Avarabba, Avinu Avarachamon. We call Hashem Avinu. Why? Because sometimes a son could be chutz bedik to a parent. Sometimes a son could try to run away. Sometimes a son does all. Father's always the father. The father's always the father. The father always is waiting for the son, and you can't get out of being a father. That's biological. You're always a father. L'das Rabbi Meir Enokach, ki shem ben nomar al shehu yizbarech av, ve'elo liYisrael. V'im Yisrael saru upirshu min aviyem, zeo mitzad ha'olu atzmo. If Jews run away, that's mitzad them. Avol mashehu yizbarech elo lahem, but mitzad Hashem, l'davar ze ein hasara klal, ki ein hasara shalahem rach mitzad ha'alul atzmo v'lo min ha'ela. And he continues and explains, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu's first. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always there. We have to realize through every challenging time, Ava Rabba, Rachmon al-Islam, you speak to people who have been through, you know, difficulties, the Holocaust, Rachmon al-Islam, not everyone, but there are many that say, I felt Hashem with me. I felt Hashem with me. We have to feel Hashem with us. We have to feel Hashem with us. That's the first message of Chanukah. And the nace of the Pach Shemen is what taught us that. Number one. Number two, the second idea. The second idea, the second answer to the question is given by the Chachma Shlomo or Shlomo Kluger. Chachma Shlomo on the bottom of the Marsha is the Marshal. But the Chachma Shlomo on Shulchan Aruch is Shlomo Kluger. So in source number five, back to the first page, he asked this question. I don't know why people quote the answer from Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Gilyon HaShas, because the Chachma Shlomo was a little bit before him. But the Chachma Shlomo in source number five says here, on line nine, Dafilu zula zenira, dafilu mandamar tumoja betzibur, hainu lagufa avoda. The alfina, meish nilchavein tzibur nitchen. You're right. Avoda in the base of Migdash could be done betuma. But that's only during the regular functioning of the base of Migdash. Not when you're starting the Chanukah again. Beginnings cannot rely on bidyevets. Beginnings have to be pure. Beginnings have to be strong. Aval lochanich betchila beis hamigdash vaday achinuch betchila tzorach liyopet tahorim. V'lachein, since there was no avoda, there was starting it mechadash vaday tchila sachinuch tzorach liyopet tahorim. V'lakach avineis chanukah shetchila sachinuch yeh betara. You can't rely. The opposite. You did need. You didn't need Tara. You couldn't rely on Tumot Shabbat Zibur in this case. Because Tumot Shabbat Zibur or Dechuya Bet Zibur is only when it's the daily functioning. You're not starting. You can't start with a Bidyevet. If you turn now, after the Sichas Musar, if you turn to page number six, the Gilyone Ashas of Yosef Engel on the Gemara. On the Gemara, he quotes this idea. Kimuvan lachain on line two. Kivan to Chanukah he davar hahatchali veroshi lachol abo acharav. The beginning set the stage for everything after it. Lakachutzrak shei betara gemura. So you have to have purity. Lo b'tchias tuma. And Kedarka b'kodesh, he quotes two Rishonim. Totally, his bekias is unparalleled. So he quotes the Das Akedim Imbali Atosus and Parsha Shmini. And the Chiddushi Aran in Rosh Hashanah. But first, the Das HaKein, I'm sorry, even before we get there, it has to be pure. Because Tumah Hutcha B'Tzibur or Dechuya B'Tzibur does not mean that there is no Tumah. Even if Hutcha, he quotes from the Shem Yishmuel, in source number 7, the Shem Yishmuel says that the Gemara tells us that you're allowed to break the bones of the Karban Pesach that is brought B'Tumah. Even though there's an Issa D'Araisa breaking the bones of the Karban Pesach. The Etzem L'Sish B'Ruvo. Why? Because it is tainted, even if you're allowed to bring it. It's not the same carbon. It's not the same type of carbon. And when you start things off, it has to be pure. You can't come into school on the first day of school and forget your pencil. Like the first day and not have a notebook. It's like, come on, what do you expect the rest of the time is going to be? If the first day you don't have it, then this... The first day, at least. Opening day has to be strong, says the Galyon HaShas. You see that in two of the Rishonim. You know, in Parsha Shmini, we have the death of Nadav and Avihu. And Elazar and Isamar were not told to carry out their brothers. Vayikra Moshe El Mishael Ve'El El Tzafan. So it says the Das HaKeinim, first quotes the Medrash, the Torah's Kohanim. Mikan she'ein ha'Kohanim t'metam al-Meisim. Kohanim, don't become tamei meis. Right, they didn't carry out their brothers. She'ei lozer v'yisamar lo nitbu l'Hashem. V'teima, ask the Bali HaTosfos. She'ei b'magam acher matzinu b'feirish ha'Kohanim usar matumas meis. First of all, we know this halacha from elsewhere. The Pasuk says in Emor, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. And number two, it's their brother. Kohanim are mitami for their brother. Only a Kohen Gadol is not mitami for his brother. And a Nazir. But Kohanim had Yotim. And we Paskin, you're obligated. Not just you're allowed to. For the seven primary relatives. So number one, we know this halacha from elsewhere. Number two, Elazar v'Isamar Kohanim had Yotim. So Yevalama lo nitmu l'achayim. The Yeshlomar says the Das HaKeinim. Because what was that day? What was happening to Aaron's sons that day? They were starting. They were being mischanech to start the avoda in the Mishkan. That day, they were all like Kohen Gadols. That's the language of the Das HaKeinim. The hard to come from Mikan Shakonim in Matam Lamesim, Hainu Konim et Yotim, Biyom Mashchasam, Shein Matamim Lekroveyam, Sheishlem Din Kohanim Gedolim. Wow, that's a Rishon. Bali Atosvis. Every Kohen on the day that he starts doing the Avoda, he's like the Kohen Gadol. I don't know if this is Lamaisa throughout, like every time a Kohen starts doing the Avoda, the first day does the Avoda, there's a special Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, right, the Minchas Chinuch, as in the Sefer, Minchas Chinuch is the carbon that the every Kohen brings on the first day he does the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol has to bring it every day. Minchas Chavitin. But the Minchas Chinuch, so every day, so I don't know if Lamaisa, we would say, if a Kohen becomes loses a relative, maybe according to the Shita, like Elazar Nisambar. You can't rely on B'dievas on the first day. That's one. And then we have Chushi Aran. Rosh Hashanah Yud Gimel, the Gemara is trying to figure out, B'nai Yisrael came across the Yarden on what day? What day the cross? Yud Nisan, the 10th of Nisan. 10th of Nisan. And the halachis of Chadash and Yashan, which we can't go too deeply in now, you're not allowed to eat from the new grain in Eretz Yisrael until after you bring the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th day of Pesach. So the Gemara asks, what did they bring the Karban HaOmer? Until they bring the Karban HaOmer, you can't eat from the new grain. And the man ran out. The man ran out on Zayin Adar. Right? And the leftovers, it didn't run out. It stopped falling because Moshe Rabbeinu died. And it lasted for another month, and then they were going in. So they had to get food. They had to get food. They couldn't eat from the Chadash. So they asked the Gemara, what did they bring the Omer from? Which grain? What grain that grew when it was Biyad Goyim? Is that, you're allowed to bring that? The Gemara is struggling to figure out what they bring the carbon of Omer from. That's what the Gemara says. Omer shekriv Yisrael b'knisas and laris. Mehechan egrivu. If they got it from a Goy, kitzir chem amer achanalok sir nachri. If this, if that, all these different possibilities. Asks the Chedush Yaran on that Gemara, what about, couldn't they bring from Aver HaYarden? Doesn't that have semi-Kedusha? Right, where Reuben, Gad, and Chatzim Menashe were? Right? Doesn't that have semi-Kedusha? So you could use that? Says the Ran, you can't use that to start. You're going to rely on second best. You're going to rely on a backup to start. Says the Ran, you can't do that. Because beginnings have to be pure. Beginnings have to be strong. Rav Mirsky in his Sefer, in the first volume of Hegyoni Halacha, even says, the Gemara tells us there were many Nisan, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, there were many Nisan that took place when Pinchas killed Zimri and Cusbi. Many Nisan happened at that moment. We're not going to go through all of them. But one of them was that Zimri and Cusbi didn't die right away. Because we wouldn't want Pinchas to become Tamei Meis. So he didn't die right away. They didn't die right away. Okay, great. That's what the Gemara says. Answer Mirsky. Pinchas wasn't a Kohen yet. Remember what the Gemara says? After this, right, because he was already born, and then only the people, the Kohanim born afterwards. So he wasn't a Kohen yet. So why did they need this Nes to take place? Says Rav Mirsky, it was through this act that he became a Kohen. His becoming a Kohen can't come through Tumah, can't come through a B'dieved. Yes, he was doing the right thing. But again, that's what it says on the top. So exactly on the top of the next page, the message that was happening to Pinchas is the same exact message as why HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the Nes of the Pach Shemen for us. Because beginnings have to be pure, beginnings have to be strong. The Gemara also in Bamitzia talks about this. Maybe we'll just, we'll do it through it quickly. We'll say it outside. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chia were having a machlokas. Rabbi Chanina said to Rabbi Chia, "Bahadi diyika mintzis chas v'shalom imishtacha Torah miyisrael ma'adrana lebi pilpule. If Torah is ever forgotten, I'm going to get it back with my harifus, with my pilpul, with my sharpness." And Rabbi Chia says back to him, "I'm going to make sure that Torah is never forgotten. What am I going to do?" Again, the Gemara says it here, but outside he says, "I'm going to planted bushes And then he took the he took not the bushes, kidney, he planted cotton, and he took the cotton and made nets, and with the nets he caught deer, and with the deer he took the meat and gave it to Aniyim, and he took the skin of the deer and wrote 11 scrolls. Five of them he wrote the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, six of them he wrote Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. He gave it to 11 different children, learn it, teach it to each other, and Shalom Al Yisrael, and Torah will never be forgotten. That's the Gemara. And ask the Mefarshim, why couldn't he just go to the store and buy some cloth? You have to start, plant the seeds and grow the cotton and the whole thing and then make the nets. Because things have to start out perfect. Things have to start out lishma. Things have to start out right. They tell a story that Rav Chaim Volozhin, when the groundbreaking ceremony of the yeshiva, he cried. He was crying the whole time. He was crying because he wanted to make sure that it was pure, that it was l'shem shemayim. That's the second message of the need for the nes. Because beginnings have to be strong. Beginnings have to be perfect. Beginning of every day. Every day, Chazal already instruct us. The first words that come out of our mouth have to be to Hashem. The first words, Moda Ani Lefanecha. The first words, what a religion. Think about that. Anybody, any other religion out there? Again, it's a minhag. But the first words, Moda Ani Lefanecha. Where Pincus points out, the first word is not Ani. Ani Moda. No, it's not Ani. Moda Ani. You don't want to focus on you to start off. Moda ani lefanecha. Every morning, Shacharis is longer than the other tefillos because the day has to start off in a proper way. Right? Motzi Shabbos, the beginning of the week, we say extra psukim for Siman Tov. Every stage of life, a different Shemi Shmuel talks about a bar mitzvah, a wedding. Right? We have Shana Rishona. Every stage of life, we have to put into it. But maybe part of the message is that we should always feel a hischadshus, a newness. And if we always feel new, then we'll always want to be at that strong, pure stage. Because what's new? Where's better? We're in yeshiva. So we do the same thing day in, day. We learn. We get up in the morning. Halacha seder. And be'ion. We do some sugyas. Same old. Sometimes it feels like. Epikias, hi, how are you? Yeah, good, let's go, let's learn. And then night seder, it's like, we're doing the same thing every single day. So maybe part of the secret is not just that beginnings have to be fresh and pure, but we have to try to make ourselves as many beginnings as possible. What did Chazal say on the Pasuk in Shema? Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al avavecha, b'chol yom yu b'necha kachadoshim. Right? Imagine, right, this week, many hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of Jews started Maseches Pesachim. Imagine if all of Shas was daf beis. 2,711 daf beis. Excited people will be every day. If you're doing daf yomi, daf beis is awesome. It's always like fresh and new, and it's always, so we don't, but we just have to figure out a way to feel daf beis. Every daf. We have to feel it. The Baruch Chaim, the Bitterman, I gave you again one of his pieces on Hanukkah. He says it's natural, it's the way of life to get used to things. Even animals. I know this Gemara, I never looked at the Gemara this way. The Gemara Gittin Daf Nun Vav, he quotes, remember Titus, one of the Rishayim Gemurim, top 10 of all time. Right? Titus, if we would have a top 10 list of Rishayim. Titus was awful. I think I mentioned this a couple of years ago. I was in the British Museum in London. So in the Rome room, there's two busts right next to each other, Antoninus and Titus. Antoninus looks like a Ben Adam. You look at him in the, like 2,000 years later, but he looks like, okay, that's fine. He was a friend with Rabbi Yudanasi. We know all the stories. And Titus, mamas, looks like a like a bull, like one of those what I forgot, one of those dogs, like the square faces, one of those wild. Mamas, you look at him. So Titus, the Gemara talks about how he was punished. What happened? A little mosquito went into his head, right? And it knocked on his head for 7 years. Right? Knocking and knocking. And one time he walked past a blacksmith, a nafach, and it was banging. All of a sudden, the mosquito, while he was walking past the blacksmith, the mosquito stopped buzzing and hurting him. He's like, wow. So he paid the guy to come to his palace. So he comes and he bangs every day. Bangs every day. After a month, mosquito started again. He got used to it. Even mosquitoes get used to things. Mr. Aga, what's the message? The message is because we get used to things and it doesn't affect us anymore. It doesn't affect us anymore. Even, quotes a fascinating story. Fascinating story. He says, Hanukkah, we're all going to be so psyched on day one. What about day two? What about day six? Okay, fine. How many more days left? It's natural for us not to have this. But we have to try to. He quotes a story of Rav Shmuel, I don't know who this is, on the bottom of page 10. It says, Rav Shmuel Munkas once went into a Beis Medrash and he saw a teacher teaching his Talmidim the first Mishnah in Bamitzia. Shnayim Olchsin Batalas. Zeh Mekula Shalev, Zeh Mekula Shalev. Zeh Mechazili, Zeh Mechazi Shalev. So he asks him a question. He says, why is it, if you ever open up Hallel, in many Siddurim, not all Siddurim, in many Siddurim, I think many at the art school now, so I don't think it's in the art school. But I remember growing up, in the many Siddurim, when it says like, or, and then the next line is written in small. Evan wants to open in, like first line is big, and the next line is small. The second line is always written small. So he asked this Malamed, says, why is the second line always written small in all the, in Hallel? While in Zeh Merkula Shaliv, Zeh Merkula Shaliv, it's all big letters. Rabbi looks at him like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The printers? So he says, I'll tell you why. He says, because if you say it's how, hold Hashem, the first time it's with his lavus, with excitement. But the second time already, it's not as excited. Small letters. Osius Katamas. Because as human beings, we're Misragel. If we're fighting about something, then we're both strong. Zelmer kula shalev. There's no backing off. Nobody's whispering there. But that's the nature of human beings. But that's the challenge of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is his chadshus. Hanukkah is newness. We have to realize that. Hanukkah is about having newness, right? Beis Hillel, Mosif Aholich, we paskin. We paskin 1 to 8, not 8 to 1. Because we have to feel a newness. There's a new candle every night. It's a new candle every night. Beginnings are crucial. And beginnings have to be pure. But we have to figure out a way to be excited about every stage of life as if it's opening day. As if it's opening day. You know, this morning, you know, Baruch Hashem, two more grades went back to school in Eretz Yisrael. Sunday with davening, that more. It's like the first day, at least the kids will be like, okay, one day. But the goal of life is to walk into the Beis Medrash every day. The goal of life is to walk into every Shabbos as if it's new, as if it's there's never going to be another moment like this moment again in the history of the world. What are we tonight, Tess Kislev? There's never going to be another Tess Kislev Tufshin Pei Aleph, ever. Just this one. And just this moment, at this moment in time. So there's never going to be a repeat. We just have to figure out ways to keep the excitement. And to feel new, and then when we feel it new, then we'll be excited, and we'll want to be l'charchila and make it pure. So two messages. Number one, Hashem loves us. He gives us extra nisim and he speaks to us throughout our lives in different ways. We just have to be open to it and recognize that and feel it and do what we can to try to inculcate the love that Hashem has for us. There's Avas Hashem, but there's Avas Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu is our Father. Number two, the second answer, and that is beginnings are crucial. you can't rely on b'dievetz when it comes to beginnings. We saw three or four sources to that, but as a correlation to that, and therefore, we have to try to have as many beginnings as possible in our lives. Every day is the beginning of the rest of my life. Every day is the beginning. Every day could be a turning point. Every day could be a turning point in our lives. Right, there's a book that I remember years ago. I read a part of it. Somebody showed it to me. It's called The Tipping Point, I think, right? Gladstone? Gladwell? Something? Gladwell? The Tipping Point. So I remember I once quoted from there before Ne'ilah. Because there he says, he has met people that have changed their lives based on a moment. He says, it's not because of the moment that the people's lives were changed. It was the fidelity to the moment. What does that mean? It wasn't the moment. It was that they took the moment and they let it change their lives. We could have a lot of those moments in life. If we're mischadesh, if we're excited. It's against nature. It's against nature. We're misragel to things. But we have to try to get out of it. And he quotes on the last, second to last page. He says, that's what, he quotes another, Shem Yishmuel, about third one of the night. He says that, what the Hanukkah candles is to get out the, Mishatishka regel, achatichla regel manashuk. Right, get the regel out of the shuk, the hisragos, the being accustomed to things. No, Hanukkah candles is to be excited, to get rid of the hergel. Let's all be excited about every day of our lives, every experience in our lives. And if we go in with that attitude, if we're always on fire, if we're always excited, eish tamid, tukan alaz b'yach lo sichba, never let the fire out. Never let the excitement out, b'ez Hashem. So those are two messages of Hanukkah as we start our preparations for this wonderful holiday, at Hashem. We'll talk a lot more in the next couple of weeks as well.
You mentioned at the beginning of the year that Yavana is the only letters that don't have an inside. I saw last year on the board of Moshe T. Weinberg's classroom that the letters of Yavan get increasingly lower.
Right.
And
longer,
also,
right?
But longer,
right?
It's lower,
like going down.
It's a gradual decline. So
right.
You have to be very careful.
Beautiful,
that.
Right? Because in that, once you don't have any premium, you're going down.
Exactly. Yeah. Take the package, please.